Sporkies, welcome back to another episode of your favorite horror movie podcast. Hopefully, I'm once again joined by Johnny Boy.
We back, boys.
And we're back in style with a listener recommendation. I know it's been a while, but we are still taking them. You just started giving them.
Yeah, thanks a lot, jerks.
Kidding. I get a lot in passing. Like, I see a lot of people that listen to us, and they just verbally. I get a lot of, like, verbal movies, and I'm like, yeah. For sure.
But, just like, put it in writing.
Yeah, please. It just means, you know, it's just that little bit more bloody spork validation.
It's We're busy great. People. We forget.
Yeah. No, I'd be free. You should have heard the first take on this intro. I am furred. Regardless.
We are embarrassed.
deeply embarrassed. I didn't think I was built like this, but I am built dumb. Either way. We'll get to the movie now. We're talking The Mist. The Mist comes in as a recommendation from a good friend of mine, Eric. And quick shout-out, side plug. Eric has his own podcast. Check it out when you get the chance if you're into sports. He does even boxing. I know a lot of people out there are not talking about boxing, but Eric's on the forefront, leading the charge. So go check him out. The Electrified Podcast with Eric Lyons. I'll be sure to link it in the episode description. And like I said, he recommended The Mist. Strictly banger. Love this movie.
Good choice, Eric.
Fantastic choice. Adapted from a Stephen King novel. And I'd say one of the better adaptations of a Stephen King novel in general. Did come out in 2007. And you know what just happened just now, John?
What?
It just hit me what I wanted to say about the Ryan Hollinger
video. Oh, my God. Now we have to give them context of what happened.
We're here now. Like I said, this is the second take on the intro, and we weren't even 3 minutes into the first take, and I had brought up the fact that, you know, Ryan Hollinger has a video on this movie. I love citing Ryan Hollinger. I love citing Dead Meat, yada, yada, yada. And, I was going to go into the segue about a point he had made, and then I just blanked. And I don't mean, like...
It was bad, man.
Yeah, I don't mean for, like, 10 seconds or something. It was, like, a whole, like, 2 minutes where I was just like,
Yeah, we were scrambling for, like, 2 minutes trying to get that thought back.
And, never came back, but it just hit me.
Until now.
And before I forget it, I need to say it. The Mist came out in 2007, and a quick recap of the point John and I had made is that The Mist is a good intro to horror movie because it gives you a little bit of scares, a little bit of blood, a little bit of gore, a little bit of nasties.
It's fun in some parts.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it took that route during an era where movies like Saw existed and the torture porn was so prevalent. We have Saw, we have, what's that one called where they do...
Hostel.
Hostel. All those movies are coming out and are at the forefront of people's minds, and that's what people are paying money to go see. And then The Mist comes out with a little bit of social commentary that could be applied to any year of U.S. history, probably. And, cemented itself as a quality movie in the good old year of 2007. One of those late 2000s movies. It's actually not that bad. And it holds up pretty well.
To this day, except in some parts, but we'll get there.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that's just always how it's going to be. What didn't hold up is some of the actors.
leave Thomas Jane alone, Dan.
Kidding. Mr. Jane, don't come after me, buddy. All right.
How are we going to get him on the show now?
I know. I'm so sorry. It's just a prank. It's just a prank, bro.
He's from Baltimore, too. This is realistic for us.
I forgot you said that. Yeah, bro. It was just a prank. I'm just fucking around, dude. It's just a joke.
Yeah, dude. Come on. Just we need you, Thomas.
Just, you know, Baltimore boys being Baltimore boys. Poking fun, if you will. So to recap that 1 minute of information you guys will never hear ever. All I really did was ask John, how does he any personal memories, experiences with this movie? We've both seen it multiple times.
Yeah, basically, I watched this movie, I think, for the first time when I was around 12. What makes it even worse is that me and my mom were house-sitting her boss's house at the time, which is practically like a fucking mansion. And the night I saw this movie, it was raining outside and it was really misty. And I was like, oh, fuck me, man. It's going to go down.
Yeah, I same, probably watched around the same age range. And then from that day forward, we ever got a heavy fog where I lived. I was like, man, that's crazy how I'm just not going to go to school today. Sorry.
Yeah, literally.
It was one of the first like ongoing bits in my family that I distinctly remember is that every foggy day, we're just like, man, I guess the mist is going to get us today, huh?
That's so crazy. Yeah, man. It's funny we say this is a good intro to horror movie because when me and my girlfriend started dating and we did a movie marathon, and this movie was at the top of my list. I think this is like the second movie we watched because she's not all that into horror. And she had a good time. She said it was fucking stupid.
Wow, but we had a good time. Terrible take.
That doesn't mean she doesn't like it. She just said it was fucking dumb. And to be fair, kind of is in some parts.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
But now our ongoing bit is that whenever it's like even slightly cloudy outside, she's like, oh my god, it's the mist.
What was the first movie at the top of your list?
Shin Godzilla, I think.
Perfect. That checks out. Local Godzilla stan, John, recommends Godzilla.
Never movie. Fails.
Everybody act shocked. Woo!
Wow.
Without further ado, pre-spoilers, some other thoughts on the movie. I feel like it's one of those movies where every time you watch it, you can, like, focus your attention to one of the, like, little subplots that are happening. Or, like,
absolutely. Little,
like, side character relations. This is a very tight movie for the most part. And when I say tight, I mean, like, location. Like, we start the movie at Thomas Jane. That's his actor name? Thomas Jane?
Yeah.
He's playing David Drayton. We start the movie at David's house, and then we go to the store 10 minutes in, and that's it.
Yep.
And there's our settings.
Like, two more location changes after that, and that's it.
Yeah. It's so crazy. And it works so well.
Not even just in terms of, like, setting. I think the movie is just very tightly written in general. It wastes very little time.
And to use a fog, basically, as a natural means to keep your characters in one location. It's not the most unique. There's literally a movie called The Fog. But
it's a weird movie.
It's another one of those, like, write-ins that you're like, okay, whatever. You know, you kind of just, like, see what the director does with it, And the director here, forgot to mention his name, he did well with it.
Ah, yes. Frank Darabont, man.
Frank Darabont. He did some things. He took some creative leeway with the source material as well. There are some slight differences between this and the book.
He's directed some good shit, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I didn't even realize it was he's got The Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile, this movie.
The Blob. He's
done seasons of The Walking Dead, it looks like, which was good.
Elm Street 3.
Just quite the resume here for Frank. Cannot, you know, can't undersell it. He is a successful director. I'll give it to him. He's been nominated for 3 Academy Awards and a Golden Globe.
Damn.
He was a screenwriter on Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Blob. Look at this.
Ugh.
This guy is just parallel. He's just, you know, you look up success. There's his picture. Look, check it out. This guy fucks.
Frank Darabont, the 61-year-old man, fucks super hard.
super hard. That being said, anything else you want to address pre-spoilers that you think is pressing information?
Well, I guess before we get into the spoilers, I think we have to preface this by saying there is like a novel version of this. This is just an adaptation of that. Yeah. And there are like a couple of slight differences and then one massive difference, which we'll get into.
And also, because John mentioned it before we started recording, an interesting cast came together for this movie.
You'll all have seen at some point.
Was there something extra you wanted to say on it that you were saving for this?
Am I wrong? No, I think I just want to say that the cast, before we get into it, all very well-known actors, and I'm surprised. I guess this was before any of them were, like, mega successful.
Yeah. So, before we get into spoilers, you know the vibe. You know the drill. we gotta first do our singular bit, The Mist. Critics' consensus, Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think it has?
Oh, I want to say like 60.
Higher.
Yes. 65.
Higher.
70.
So close, it's unbelievable.
Oh my God. Is it 71?
72.
Wow. 72%. That's better than I thought.
Honestly, 72% critically for The Mist. Frank Darabont's impressive camera work and politically incisive script make The Mist a truly frightening experience. Yeah, the movie's just, like, technically a little political, but it's nothing, like, crazy.
I wouldn't even say it's, like, well, no, it is. It's political in the way that it doesn't talk about, like, oh, the president or this or that. It's more like, we have different opinions.
It's political in the way that they use religion as a core driving force for a lot of decision making. We end up with this. We'll address it. If you haven't already seen the movie, I mean, come on. But there's like a huge plot twist at the end. So I will say, actually, while you're still listening, if you don't know the ending of this movie, go watch, if you even have like the mildest interest, go watch this movie, because the plot twist is nuts,
and even for people
it makes this movie what it is.
Even for people who don't like this movie, like my girlfriend, once we got to the end, she's like, oh fuck me, wow.
Yeah It's tough to watch, but we will get there when we get there. Regardless, sticking with our bit, audience score, what do you think this movie got? Rotten Tomatoes.
I want to say 50.
Higher.
58.
Bit higher.
59.
More.
65.
Yes, you got it.
Oh, third time.
Yeah, man. 65% audience score. Quite high. I'm trying to think of like other, the issue is I don't know if there are other Stephen King movies that come out around this era, because I can think of like, there's a bunch like 80s, 90s. Even 90s, and then like I can think of them all like mid 2010s and later, but nothing in the 2000s off the top of my head outside of The Mist.
Yeah. I don't think...
My brain isn't the most massive, so I could be missing some obvious ones. But from 2000 to 2009, I don't know.
I won't act like I'm super tapped into like Stephen King adaptations, but yeah, that to my knowledge, this is like the only one.
For real. Let's do a quick, just a little tap away at my keyboard. See, now, when I look up Stephen King movies A to Z, I don't want it A to Z, I want it by date.
Chronologically?
Maybe? Oldest to newest, maybe. Oh, okay. No, they're right. Okay, I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There were 7 from 2000 to 2009. So...
Really?
I'm not far off. 1408, I've heard of. Same year, 2007, also Stephen King. I don't know if I've watched it, but I've definitely heard of it. But I have not heard of any of these other movies. I'm not going to list them off. It's a very easy Google search. So if you're really interested, you can look it up. Regardless, now we're just getting Stephen King adaptations on Netflix, and that's just that.
Oh, those are dog ass, my friend.
I don't mind. I didn't watch Gerald's Game. I heard that one was interesting. 1922 is kind of twisted. In the Tall Grass was kind of okay, but...
I hated that one.
Time travel is such an odd concept to write about and write for a movie, and people need to stop doing time travel things. It's so hard to get right, and I can't think of any good examples of it being right. Because that's how rare it is, you know?
But, yeah.
That's going to do it, I think, for the pre-spoiler section. So last warning, again, the plot twist is huge, like immense to this movie. And again, if you have any interest at all, go watch the movie. Watch that plot twist. Feel our feelings. and come on back.
Please,
listen to
God,
what we have
God.
To say. Listen to our interpretations, because this episode, it's about to get deep. Maybe we'll see.
I hope.
Some heavy topic matter, but deep discussion points. Lots of interpretations to be taken away from a lot of different things in this movie. So we'll get right into it. The Mist is just like immediately a thing in this movie. Fantastic. Very, very minimal time is spent setting up the antagonistic force.
And you know what? It's all for the better of this movie, because you really didn't need like half an hour of setup.
And in all honesty, the fog, goddammit, the mist is not even the primary antagonist. It's another one of those movies that's like, look at mankind and how quickly they turn on each other when in a situation of peril. And so
it only takes like 2 days, man.
Man, the doomsday. And I cannot let's be for real for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, put me in a situation like this. I am not God's strongest soldier.
No.
I'm not even going to pretend to be.
Nope.
The moment I see any of these creatures, nope, done. That's fine.
The second I see people sacrificing other people to the creatures, that's when I'm like, yeah, we're cooked, dude.
so absolutely cooked. It's unbelievable. So
The second that idea is even brought up, I'm like, yeah, nah, we're not doing that.
As we mentioned, Thomas Jane is our lead. He's playing David Drayton. He is quickly joined by Andre Brower, playing...
For you Brooklyn Nine-Nine fans.
Brent Norton. Yeah, I was going to say that's what I recognize him from, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think there's something else that I definitely... Maybe not. I could be wrong. I guess not, but definitely Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And they go into town. Who cares? The storm knocked over this gigantic tree onto the cars. Insurance people. Whew. They got a lot to deal with. But regardless, they head into town where we kind of just meet everybody immediately. And so there's a lot of characters in this movie. And there's a lot of like credited people in this movie. Bro, watch the movie. Like I said, if you care that much, watch the movie. Because we're only going to talk about, like, four of them. Maybe.
Yeah, funniest thing about this movie, though, is how much it decides to say, oh, fuck the main character's wife. Because she's... I guess this doesn't matter. She is left behind the entire movie just to, like, die.
She was introduced... With David, but she just quickly is left behind, and then we're like, okay. And then, spoilers, we're in that section, by the way. She's just dead in passing later on in the movie.
Yeah, well, because he's like, oh, I gotta go home and get my wife, and then they get home, and she's fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know what, I guess I'll move on extremely quickly.
The minimal amount of research that I also meant to do was look up the book itself. Again, Ryan Hollinger, in his video, he mentions that in the book, only 2 sentences total were used to describe the creatures and all.
Yeah.
And so they obviously took a lot of creative liberty when it came to these creatures. And I believe, to reference our Spork Feeding 2 episode on aliens, which if you haven't already listened, go check it out. I believe we referenced these creatures in that episode.
Yes, we did.
In the same vein as Lovecraftian aliens. And while... I don't know about Lovecraftian super specifically because, is a rule. What's a Lovecraftian rule? That they gotta be big? They don't gotta be big, right?
They don't gotta be big, but they gotta be, like, squid-like. And,
we get a big motherfucker.
The giant one towards the end is, like, fucking just a big... It's just tentacles with legs.
Disgusting.
This movie is interesting because a lot of the time in Lovecraftian horror... At least with, like, aliens, you kind of have the aliens show up, and then they start driving people insane, and they eventually start worshipping the aliens. We don't get that specifically, but we do get that kind of, like, religious, like, obsession in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not necessarily directed towards the aliens, but it's kind of half and half, you know? It's up in the air.
Right, because I don't think in this movie they ever use the word alien. I don't think the creatures are referred to as aliens, which is important to note, which is how they back the religious premise. Sorry, go ahead.
To be fair, rarely in Lovecraftian fiction does he ever come out and say that they're aliens. He's just like, oh, it's a creature.
Fair.
That's just a good point. He'll just say that it's like, oh, it's not from this planet, or it's from a different dimension. So, you know, our minds immediately go to aliens.
Yeah, and so, like I said, big point to take away, because to say these creatures are alien, like, technically, yes, because they are just foreign animals, but they are just so, they're so similar, almost, the ones that we, like, vividly see. Yeah, the ones that we vividly see, which are, like, kind of just like big spiders. We get like
freaky birds.
Yeah, we get a weirdly large mosquito species that are just like, you know, demonic versions of things that we are familiar with, which again further backs the religious undertones. They're not undertones. They are at the forefront.
They are very overt.
Super crazy. And it just feeds into our religious leader, I suppose. I'm sure there's like...
She's just like a fanatic.
Is that... Yeah, okay. I'm thinking there's a term on par with like the word martyr. She's not a martyr, but like, you know, because she's like preaching. She thinks she is the Messiah, basically.
Yeah,
And she thinks that because she's able to live through these waves of creatures, she's like, God is speaking through me. Listen to me.
She's so fucking awful.
And she... Oh, man, I'm trying to find... Again, large cast. Who plays her? Prominent actor.
Let me see. What is her name? Marcia Gay Harden.
Thank you. Marcia Gay Harden. She's playing Mrs. Carmody?
Carmody.
And what she's been in Flubber, all right? thank you. She's, like, I don't know what I know her from, but I know I've seen her in other stuff. I know I know her from something else, but I can't, you know, put my thingy on it for sure. Definitely I've seen her in some Law and Order SVU, without a doubt in my mind, now that I'm looking at it right now. But
She's in Mystic River. I've seen that movie.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, confidently, this is one of the first characters in this is one of the first characters in any movie ever that I've felt, like, internal hatred and rage. And I'm just like, man, somebody get this lady to shut up. Please. Yeah.
They let her go on for far too long.
Way too long. That's what I'm saying. Just as much as I'm, like, doming myself in a situation like this, I'm doming the first person that starts to act like this, because ain't no way.
The first person to come out and be like, oh, this is God punishing us, I'll be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, get him out of here. Guard!
We're not opening this door.
Because that's what happens in these situations, is it just takes one person with whoever's the loudest, basically.
Whoever's going
to say things the loudest, people are like, oh, man, they are confident. I like this. And then they just ride the wave. So we get, like, somehow in the grocery store, they end up basically, like we said, taking stock in a grocery store. We get, like, three different groups of people emerging here.
Yeah.
We get our group of survivors. We get our group of conspiracy theorists who basically are assuming the government has something to do with this. Because what are we? We have, like, the army in this movie?
They're, like, army dudes that are, like, stationed in town, just stopping in.
And it's, like, a super small town. I don't think it specifies location.
It said that it's somewhere in Maine.
Oh, okay, that checks out, yeah. Okay, sorry, Stephen King loves Maine. My fault.
Yeah, he does.
I forgot all about that. It's shown to us that this is a small town, so, like, everybody kind of knows everybody when they're in this building. And they give us that vibe because everybody's kind of, like, on a first-name basis for the most part. and they all have like little bits of history with each other that get brought up.
That's Mr. Johnson from down the way or shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like, you know the town, you know the vibe. And man, it doesn't work well when they have to be next to each other for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
But as I was saying, Mrs. Camaraderie, whatever her name is.
Or Carmen, yeah.
Close enough. First time I've ever just like straight up despised a character because she is so ruthless and just so war-torn on being this vessel for God. I'm just like, man, what a...
She's like a psycho from like the first scene.
Yeah, man. She's just a bitch. She's a bitch to open. I forget what she's complaining about, but just frame one, you're like, man.
Fuck you.
Get rid of this one, huh? But, and there's so, she has such a pivotal role, but she's so, so good.
Yeah.
At the role.
That's the thing.
To Marsha Gay Harden, she absolutely kills this character.
Yeah.
It's so, like, again, one of those characters that you just love to hate because you know that's what she's supposed to be. So you don't feel bad for hating her. But, man, you just want her to die.
She's a pleasure to fucking hate.
It's, you just watch this movie and you're like, why are they all not turning against her? And, you know, eventually the survivors do. But it's a story for later on. We also get basically what is a cameo appearance from Melissa McBride.
But yeah.
This is right before she takes off to fame with The Walking Dead. And genuinely, I think, is in this movie for like 5 minutes.
She doesn't.
And I don't, like, what do you... So she's in the grocery store, and the mist rolls over. Somebody's, like, coming and screaming. And there's, like, there's creatures out there.
Yeah.
You know, mass hysteria breaks out. Panic breaks out. Melissa McBride's character is like, no. I gotta go. Like, my now. My children, they need me. Right? So she just leaves. She's like, nobody's gonna walk a woman home?
Nobody's gonna... Yeah, and I would have been like, fuck no.
Yeah, for real. I'd have been like, no. Who said that? Oh my God. Why would they do that? That's so rude.
That is an insane thing to ask when a man runs into the store covered in blood.
Get the fuck out. Oh my God. That's just... Oh,
get the fuck out of here.
And it's so funny because at the end of the movie, she's perfectly okay. That's it.
That's the best part.
That's like, what do you think is the purpose of her character? What does that represent?
I think it's just supposed to be like ironic. Yeah. And I don't want to spoil the ending yet.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's supposed to be like a big fuck you to that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because like the people who survive in this movie, like, fuck you.
Yeah. True. That is true.
Fuck that one grocery store employee specifically.
So shout out Melissa McBride. Thank you for your 5 minutes of screen time. She killed it. She had a small role, but she did well in it. So I was going to say RIP, but she didn't die. She's one of the like few that live. But outside of that, we get our first major creature feature action with this disgusting tentacle at the bay door.
That part is cool.
And this guy who's basically an off-brand Justin Long. And I've always thought, that, even as a kid, I was like, looks like Jeepers Creepers, dude. We sure that's not him? You're telling me that's not him? And even to this day, I'm like, you're telling me that's not him? It's not him. Looks like him. It's not him. And he gets murked by this tentacle.
It's brutal, man.
And it's so crazy. And this is where, like, I can't think of other situations like that. Like, the only time, or the only other specific thing I can think of when it comes to, like, people freaking out in these group situations are, like, you know, The Walking Dead. Very similar. In concept, you know, human nature taking over and that being the driving force behind a lot of things, and the zombies are kind of like a background threat.
And,
like, four people went to deal with this tentacle.
That killed a person, by the way.
Yeah, like, the main character, David, two grocery workers, and yep. maybe the other three were all grocery workers. I don't know.
Yeah. Four people went. Yeah, yeah. And only three of them came back. So, like.
Four people went. The teenager had the biggest set of balls. He's right. The one that gets murked. The three of them go back. And the others still have the audacity to be like, there's no creature. Shut
up. Oh, my God. This has got to be the most annoying part of the movie.
And that's why I can see where your girlfriend says it's stupid.
Yeah. Well, because
I don't believe you because I didn't see it with my own eyes. When it's like, okay, well, we just lost a guy.
Well, so. It's like you have five different people here telling you that yeah. it happened.
Or like, you know, I believe one of the workers like just won't even say anything on it. Or like they don't yeah. know how to provide their POV. And it's like, okay.
Sure. And that's also why I kind of hate Andre Brower's character in this movie. Mm-hmm. Because he's just like, next you're going to tell me it's aliens. And I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah, he's the leader of the conspiracy theorist group, basically. And so they think it's the government. And he's like, there's no fucking creatures out there. Shut up. Who wants... Yeah. Who he's the guy that's like, who wants to fight back and take what's ours? Hmm? Who's going to let this mist keep us in? Because I'm not.
Who yeah. would? And then
and then they just get,
fucked.
Just so fucked, man.
Very quickly into this movie.
There's a subplot with one of the army dudes that's in the store and this girl. Yeah. They're like dating each other. She gets fucked.
Oh, it's bad.
It's so bad. Remember, we were talking, these like, man, you know how like, I don't know if you've ever seen it. You've seen like how people talk about prehistoric times and things were just like 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
Like there were centipedes that are like 10 feet long instead of. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I imagine when we see these mosquito like things, which again, can't describe them much better than it's just a mosquito, but they look super fleshy and they're like.
I think they have like teeth too.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just, and they get hunted by these creatures that are even bigger than them.
Yeah, they look like pterodactyls.
And it's crazy. And again, we say mosquito-like because they also act like moths. They're all drawn to the grocery store because the grocery store lights are on. Yeah, they're just generic big bugs, but they look like mosquitoes, and that's what made me hate it. So check one for the mist.
I think it's funny how these monsters kind of operate in like video game rules. Where they come in like waves. Whereas I feel like for real they would just fucking go, they would just be nonstop.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like you think for a second that like everything's okay because like the bugs, the little bugs can't get through the glass, but then like I said, the much bigger, almost like 10 feet wide wingspan creatures start slamming into the wall because they're hunting them. They get into the building, and even then people are like, this is crazy. Ain't no way. Ain't no fucking way. And I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean?
They did such a shitty job barricading those windows, too.
They were, like, stacking up bags of dog food up against the window. Like, that was that was going to make the difference. But, like, to be fair, what else do they do? There's no solution.
No one has any bright ideas in this movie.
My favorite bright idea is the guy that goes out with the rope around his waist.
The bravest man alive, the biker.
Yeah, this is random biker.
This unnamed saying, character.
Yeah, I'm a biker. I'll check it out. My balls, they're touching the ground.
Tie this rope around me, brother, and I'll come. I'll just pull me back.
I don't even know how far he makes it.
He takes like a crowbar with him too.
Crowbar, yeah, he got a crowbar. Did you see the mosquitoes, bruv? You think the crowbar is gonna help you?
Yeah, and then you get like a big ass yank at the rope, and they pull it back, and it's just his fucking legs.
It's so gruesome.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, so the balls gruesome. On that guy.
Yeah, there's some like. For the brief gore scenes that we get, it's impactful. It's good. They end up going on a supply run. Oh man. That part is the most haunting and chilling and disgusting. Like I don't hate spiders, you know. I don't want them in and around my space, but I don't hate them.
Yeah.
I try my best not to kill them. But these fuckers, I wish them a very die.
Yeah, no.
Disgusting. They're just like, they're not like, well, some of them get pretty big, but they're not like fucking monstrous creature feature spiders.
It's worse when they get the guy's body and then all the babies start shooting out of them. It's awful.
Yeah, awful. That's Andre's character, right? The one that's like speaking, I believe.
I don't remember.
I don't know. It might be, I think it's him. I could be very wrong. But either way, he's filled with fucking egg sacs on every square inch of his skin.
Yup.
And he's like, please God, help me. Put me out of my misery. Please, it hurts so bad. And then they all just
nope.
Popping. And all and they spit acid.
Yeah, acid webs, dude. It's fucking just crazy.
It's like the most tricked out spider build you could imagine.
Yeah, it's got all the buffs.
Yeah, for real, it paid for all the upgrades so it could wreak havoc on mankind. So gross. so gross. Like, I don't even have a problem with like actual spider movies, but this, disgusting. No shot. Yeah.
Well, no, it's just like spiders are bad enough, but if you give them extra, I'm just like, fuck no.
Yeah, you make them extra volatile. Ooh. Man, they could handle World War III on their own at that point.
Oh, Lord, yes. But I don't know. This movie is kind of hard to talk about sometimes in depth because the structure of the movie is like so simple sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go from monster attack and then you chill out for like 10 minutes and then monster attack and then like people fuck everything up and then monster mm-hmm. attack. And then you just repeat that cycle until you get to the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. And fun fact, it was a TV series.
Oh, you know I was going to save that until the end, but yes. Oh, really? Yeah, dude, they made like a, I think it only got one season.
Yep, one season, 10 episodes. And I bring it up because of what you said. It feels how they broke it up. It felt like it could be turned very episodic very quickly.
But I'm glad they didn't.
No, oh, no, for sure. Like
because said, I actually watched that fucking show.
Yeah?
Dog ass, dude.
Not a single episode got a million views.
It looks like it's fucking garbage.
I could be reading this very wrong.
Well, because they take the whole setup of The Mist, but instead of it being stuck in one place,
yeah,
it's just the entire town, and I'm like, oh, this is aw-, and just the worst characters ever.
That does not check out at and it's, all.
The formula only works when the movie is like 90 minutes long. Yeah. Once you stretch that into like 10 hours, it's like, okay, I want to die.
Yeah, and these creatures aren't something I feel like humans could just deal with at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, The Walking Dead works because zombies are just other human beings, and especially Walking Dead zombies are the most brain dead, by the end of that show, most brain dead, slowest moving, you know, are only engaging for the sake of the plot if needed
kind of
thing. But like, again, we, by the end of this movie, we see a creature that's like rivaling Godzilla.
It's like kaiju size.
Yeah. If you saw like the brief second of the weird kaiju monster in Cloverfield, like that's what it looks like.
Yeah,
we only see it for like 10 seconds, and there's towards the end when the survivors make a mad dash to the car to get out of the grocery store. We see some gigantic spiders there too. But
oh, dude, there's also that gigantic mantis too.
Mm.
Oh, that one's awesome.
Man, it's so sick. But you just like, I can't imagine. It just doesn't feel very exotic because
you never spend.
They're too much.
You never spend time with any of the bigger creatures, and I think that's a shame.
It is a shame, because the movie is 2 hours, and I don't... could it be shorter? Probably. But at the same time, I'm not mad about the 2 hours.
I think it uses its 2 hours the most like efficiently it can for this kind of story.
I can't imagine cutting too much outside of maybe the random love story between the... Because the tension there doesn't really build to anything, because both characters die in that situation.
And you also don't even spend much time with them.
No, and yeah, there's like 3 army guys, and 2 of them end up offing themselves,
which
feed into the conspiracy theorist group. And so the third guy is like upset about it, and he lost his girlfriend that he was seeing. And so like you feel bad for the guy, but we don't spend so much time with him that we're like, oh no.
I don't even remember his name.
Up. Yeah, no, like it's fucked up. You're sad for him, but you're like, why are you here? You know? He's just to be the beacon character for the conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, he's just supposed to be like the scapegoat.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, Miss Camaraderie, again, whatever. I know that's not her name, but that's what I'm calling her. Calls for his sacrifice, the army dude's sacrifice. He's like,
yeah, you know what's sacrifice? Crazy? The fucking conspiracy characters end up being completely fucking correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then,
like, the army guy's just like, oh yeah, man, we were working at the base. They were working on, like, this fucking interdimensional portal. And they opened it, and then all this shit started coming out.
Oh, and fairly topical, because that's what we do around here. They mentioned that there was, like, a chemical explosion that happened, too. Yeah, we've been having some of those IRL, so...
Yeah.
Really cool.
Don't be surprised.
Really cool to just see things happening right before our very eyes. Nothing could do.
But, like,
from aliens to the mist. Ugh.
That's when Mrs. fucking Carmody is like, you see? They're splitting God's atoms. Yeah, and I'm like, all right, man, fuck off. And then they fucking sacrifice him.
Yeah, and
it's bad enough that they're gonna like throw him outside, but then the fucking butcher comes out and just stabs him in the fucking chest
for no reason. And she calls him a Judas and all this bullshit. And I'm like, get out of here,
poor man.
For real, he lost everybody he cared about in the span of a day. And then he's outed as the one traitor amongst some of the craziest people he's probably ever met his entire life.
Gets like and beaten and stabbed and then sacrificed.
He's done nothing but try and serve his country for the past however many years, and now he's getting outed to some God knows what creatures because some old lady said to sacrifice him.
Yeah,
what a terrible life.
Oh man, awful, awful way to go out. Because some bitch was like, yeah, him.
Excuse me, I would have had to have gone out with the homies. Ain't no way.
Yeah, nah, bro. I would have been like, you know what? Just take that knife, stab me in the neck, bro. Just do it.
Which I think John might have touched on it or just said it outright. He does say the two dudes killed themselves because of the fact they knew they were involved. So
yeah.
Pretty tough. Pretty tough. So you have your conspiracy theorists who are right, basically, to a degree. Like, they're right enough, but that doesn't mean
it is the government's fault.
It is the government's fault, but it's like, okay, now what, little bro? You know?
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, congratulations, you cracked the code, but...
Yeah, now what, are you going to kill every army man you see? Like, come on.
Like, that's just how... It's funny, because now that I think about it, like, that's how it would go in real life. Like, if a conspiracy theorist ever, like, figured it out, it'd be like, now what?
Your whole Literally.
Meaning, the whole meaning of your life is now gone because you cracked it. Congratulations. Are you happy? Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah, is your life any different? I didn't think so.
Congratulations. Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, big shot.
You're so smart.
Used your brain.
Big brain over here.
They actually solved it 10 years ago. You're not even the first. Ooh.
Yeah, idiot.
But either way, tempers really flare.
Oh, yeah.
And the survivors, they want to leave. And again, there are so many characters that get these brief side bits and like brief character bonding moments. We don't got the time to talk about
at this
them.
At this point there's like six main characters that we've been followed that have formed their own little group.
Mm-hmm.
I won't bother to name them. It's just old lady, old dude, woman, child, Thomas Jane, and grocery store guy, who's my favorite character.
Let's mention the woman, Lori Holden playing Amanda Dunfree, another actor that
Walking
ended up
Dead.
In The Walking Dead shortly after this. But she was also in the Silent Hill movie, okay?
And true.
And the 2005 Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah. But either way, peak cinema.
She's a strong character in this
film, she's good in this movie.
That's the one discrepancy I remember for sure. In the book, this character, Amanda Dunfree and David, end up having an affair at the grocery store. Which I'm glad they did not translate to screen.
Thank God.
There's like no. I would assume this is Frank's doing, honestly. for the most part, how he, you know, did his movie. He doesn't even really give us, like, tension between the two of them at all. She fills in a motherly role for his son, which, by the way, yes, he has a son with him the whole time. We should have said that a long time ago. Yeah, he's got a son. That basically changes your whole mindset on the entire episode, I'm sure.
And, like, he's kind of sucks. He's just kind of like the plot device child character.
Which, it's funny you say that, because when I was looking this movie up, you want to know one of the awards it won? Or one of the awards relating to it. It's like
best child actor?
Basically. Best performance for someone under the age of 10.
I mean, I wouldn't say his performance is bad. It's well acted. Yeah. I just think it's pointless a little bit.
I wouldn't say pointless.
Not pointless. But
he only has the one point.
Yeah, to be the child in the movie.
To be the child. To give us some organic, quote-unquote organic tension.
So every time a monster gets near him, you're like, oh no, and I'm like, oh,
yeah. It's like, okay. So the survivors are like, hey man, we're done here.
These people are fucking crazy. We gotta go.
We just watched this old woman convince 20 people to sacrifice a soldier. We gotta
And now she's pointing at us, so we should probably leave.
Go on, get.
So, because I forgot, David was like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah, like, deadass, he's just like, are we for real? Be fucking for real, guys.
And Miss Carmody is like, well, what if it was you? What if I said you're next? Or your son? Or your whore?
Yeah, so then she goes that route, and she's like, bring me the boy! He is the answer. Yeah. He must be sacrificed, for he is the chosen one. We sacrifice him, and everything will be okay.
Amen!
And then she gets domed.
Thank Christ.
She gets domed by our basically comedy relief character throughout this movie. Minor. Like, not even, like, over-the-top comedy relief. Like, completely... He's just, like, a little goofy sometimes. His
delivery is
funny. You know, he's a good character. I like him, too.
Ollie's my favorite character in this movie, I gotta say.
He's fun. And, domes her. And it's funny, because he's they make him intentionally a dorky-looking, middle-aged, older white guy who's just a cashier at a grocery store. But then, whenever they discover the pistol, they're like, does anyone know how to shoot a gun?
He's like, I do.
And you are, as soon as he seen that gun, his ball sack just tripled in size. And he was like,
finally.
And handle this shit. And handle it, he does. Domes the religious lady.
She falls in the most dramatic way possible, in a crucifixion pose.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man.
They cheese it up just enough for late 2000s, where you're like, okay.
That's exactly how a person like that would die.
For sure. And I was like, I accept. I was never celebrated a death before, but I was like, fucking finally. Thank God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Please, man. Deal with her. Deal with her.
Please. Voila.
Voila, it's your problem now. But as soon as she gets domed, the survivors get on out. Everybody else is like, all right, bro, you got it.
Yeah,
I got it.
You got it.
I got it. You killed
her
leader.
She was in charge.
Yeah, none of us know what to do now. We felt a group thing. I don't know. Bro.
Yeah, we needed somebody loud to tell us what to do.
So they go on out. Unfortunately, our hero, after his brightest moment, immediately murked by a
fucking mantis.
Yeah, just so quickly.
But he died him a hero. In half, man.
Yeah, it's tough. But died a hero.
At this point, they're just making mad dashes for any car available.
Anything. They do get to one. They do get out. And now...
What? Now what?
At this point,
they don't even have, like, a plan that's like, we need to get in the car and then just fucking go. I don't know where.
Yeah. Which, again, interesting. Like you said, video game-esque. With the creatures, they wouldn't just flock to the first thing moving that clearly isn't one of them.
Well, it's like, you think you're safe once you get in a car? Like, they broke through the fucking glass in this grocery store.
And it's not like they get in a Prius, you know?
No.
I don't know what kind of car they get into, but, like, that motherfucker would be making noise.
And on top of that, like, they have to turn the lights on, so that would definitely attract the fucking bugs.
Yeah, so... Are we being pedantic? Yeah, but like
that's we're being a little nitpicky, but like, come on.
That's what you come to listen to, right?
Exactly.
We're just speaking the thoughts you'd have while watching it. We're just explaining the stupid parts of it, as some of us might say. you know?
Yeah.
So they're driving and driving and driving, and they kind of time lapse.
Just anywhere.
And the whole movie, we should say, is like, yeah, just like straightforward, no real breaks at any point in time, and it's just like 2 days straight. It kind of feels
Oh, you know what?
What's that?
This is finally the point that David is like, you know what? I guess I'll go check on my wife.
Yeah.
Drives to his house and she's fucking dead, covered in spider webs.
Yeah, she's been webbed all the way up. Yeah, finds his wife just completely desecrated by webs. Unfortunate, really.
It just moves on.
Yeah. And there's a bit, it's Ryan Hollinger made the point, and it's just like another thing from David's past coming to haunt him, theorizing that like whatever the spiders got in through the window that broke because of
the tree.
The original storm, and because he didn't deal with it, she got caught. Yep. But like, come on, that's a little unfair. He couldn't have dealt with it if he wanted to, except maybe bring his wife. I don't know.
Who would have known that giant spiders were gonna show up?
Yeah, come on, that's not come on.
You can predict that.
Come on. But come to like the end of our gas tank. Car's slowing down.
Middle of fucking nowhere.
David's still got the gun.
Approximately 4 bullets in the chamber.
And five people in the car. So we have David, the random old people that I don't know how they're here, but they're here. Yep. And then Lori Holden, boy. Amanda Dunfrey, his son, and David.
And this has got to be some of the most well-acted shit I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm being super biased here because I've seen this scene so many times. But my God, it is fucking gut-wrenching because not a word is said.
Mm-hmm. Not a word is said. And then we just back out to a medium shot. And we just
He looks at the gun. He looks at his son. Mm-hmm. And then you just pan out.
You get 5 shots or 4 shots that pop off, and you watch it from outside the car, so you don't know who gets shot.
You just see the gun flash.
Come back in. It's just David. He's by himself.
Gets out of the car.
Everyone else is dead. Yeah, he gets out of the car. He's like, "Come get me!"
Fucking
then.
Screaming.
Take me, and he hears.
Come get me.
You hear a deep grumbling, and maybe one of those gigantic creatures is about to come out. And then it's the motherfucking U.S. military.
The biggest monster of all.
Yeah. Got him.
Fucking up these creatures, by the way. Just flamethrowing.
Insane fire usage on display here. They are just scorching anything that isn't human.
Yep.
It's so fucked up. So yeah, as soon as he killed them all, everything was okay immediately after.
Like literally like 2 minutes later, he just needed to wait 2 minutes.
So this is the end of episode question, big brainer that I have to ask you now. Do you think it was coincidental, or do you think the boy truly was a religious sacrifice?
You know, I have never actually thought about that. That is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, considering that everyone else at the supermarket managed to survive, I don't want to say that Mrs. Carmody was right, but, like, had she had gone through with her logic, everyone would have thought she was right.
Yeah, and that's the worst
part.
It's
just a big coincidence that just so happens to look like it was true.
Like, imagine living in that town for the rest of your life after this
movie. I could not.
Like, you literally are just a living told you so.
Yeah.
once people realize you don't have your son anymore, they're just like, ooh,
I guess you sacrificed him, huh?
Interesting.
Crazy how that works.
This is the other big discrepancy between the book and the film.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. What happens in the book?
I don't actually know what happens in the book. They just said that they went this route because they wanted to make it a whole lot darker than how it ends in the book. So I assume there's some kind of happy ending in the book, at least.
I don't know if it's... I think it's ambiguous in the book. I think maybe they just drive off into the mist in the book. I don't know.
Okay.
I might... Who knows? We'll see. But
Well, that's not as like bleak and satisfying.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like I said, Frank had some creative liberties that he took with this. And, you know, it's fine.
You know, there's a black and white cut of this movie, too, right?
I did know that, actually. It's very...
I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, in the book, yeah, they just drive off into... They drive off near a hotel, and that's it. It's just, yeah, that's what I thought. It's just a lot more open-ended.
Yeah, that doesn't hit as hard.
I'm going to link this article now that I'm reading it, because there's an interview with Stephen King explaining how the new ending came to be. He mentions when Frank, the director, was interested in The Mist, one of the things that he insisted on was that it would have some kind of an ending, which the story doesn't have. At which we get. It just sort of peters off into nothing, where these people are stuck in the mist, out of gas, and the monsters are around. You don't know what'll happen. When Frank said that he wanted to do the ending that he was going to do, I was totally down with that. I thought that was terrific. Nice. It was so anti-Hollywood.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a happy ending by any means.
Probably one of the most painful endings in a movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny. It's funny that this movie ends so strongly, or like so well, I would assume, comparatively to the book. Obviously, it's all up to your opinion, yada, yada, yada. I think to have this concrete ending is a lot better than an ambiguous ending. But Stephen King, infamously known for not knowing how to end his books.
And yeah.
And then the movie, the director takes creative freedom to end it, and Stephen King's like, yeah.
I should have come up with that.
That's a really good ending, actually.
I should put that in new copies.
It's so fucked. But good for Steven for just saying, yeah, it actually fucks.
Yeah, I mean, that takes a lot of fucking maturity and balls to be like, you know what? That's better.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. But that's The Mist. Quality movie. There's so much we didn't touch on. Like we said, so many sides. We didn't even talk about the comedy character, and he's a great character, you know? So many characters in this movie.
We didn't talk about the other grocery guy who eventually joins, like, the fucking cult people.
Yeah, and, you know, this episode could have... I mean, there's probably some ridiculous scholarly essays on this movie alone that are just, like, 20-plus pages long, and you can overanalyze to death the politics, the religious aspect, etc. how mankind exists in these situations.
You don't need us to tell you that people are going to fucking panic and fuck each other over for
You don't need us to tell you that religion will come back around because people don't know what else to believe in, so
exactly
fall to their safe haven, which, you know, to each their own. But The Mist, quality movie, good to talk about a solid movie. You know?
Solid movie that I think we both really enjoy. Oh, I've loved this movie for years.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most watched horror movies of my life. Just because. I don't even know why. It's one of those, like, just always on TV movies somehow.
It's a real comfort movie for me.
Yeah, it's real solid. Real concrete. Yeah, it's comfort movie now because I know how it ends. And I'm just like, eh.
Well, it's just like, I know this movie like the back of my hand, so I can just put it on.
Yeah. I know this movie like the back of my hand. I know what's sick about it, you know. Always seeing the creatures always gets me. They're always cool. Seeing all the kills over and over. Some of the better horror movie kills for this kind of movie. The ending
breaks my heart every time.
And it's so good. So good.
Especially because as soon as he sees it's just the military, he falls to his fucking knees.
Yeah, and he's just like
screaming.
Yeah, literally like no way. Just insane, but that's going to do it. The Mist.
The Mist.
No idea what Gavin and I have queued up next week.
So, I mean, I do have a suggestion.
John has a suggestion. What is he thinking?
I mean, we do know that next Saturday is St. Patrick's Day, correct?
What are you about to say to me right now?
Perhaps there's some kind of little green figure that has a movie franchise that you guys should maybe look at. That's kind of stupid and silly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting topic. Let us know what you think.
Some kind of leprechaun of some kind.
Yeah. I think I've heard of him before. Maybe.
Perhaps one that even goes to the hood.
I hear that's where Jennifer Aniston got her start and she's not proud of it.
She hates that fucking movie, man.
sucks, man. I'd be like, yeah, I was in that fucking movie. Fuck yeah.
I'd never shut up about being in Leprechaun.
For real. But that's going to do it. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram, @BloodySpork. We have a Twitter. Go follow us on Twitter, @BloodySporkPod. And if you want to email us further movie suggestions or other spork feeding topics, you can email us @BloodySporkPod@gmail.com. Any last remarks, good old buddy, old pal of mine?
Go watch this fucking movie, man. I think that bitch is like $2 on Amazon, so.
It's literally, actually, you know what? That's what I wanted to say, now that we're an hour in and no one's listening anymore. The movie is literally just on YouTube.
Are you serious?
It's in 240p, but that's not much different from like a 2007 TV anyway.
Yeah.
That's how I watched it, so I don't fucking know if
fucking TVs back then. They were only max like 480.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll link it down below, but yeah, the movie's just on YouTube. It's also on Netflix, I believe. When I looked it up, it said you could... I don't know if it's on America's Netflix, but it said it was on Netflix, so...
If we had a VPN sponsorship, we could totally plug this in there.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. That's that.
Yeah.
From Dan.
And John.
Bye, Sporkies.
Bye, Sporkies. We love you.
Love you.